Hi, I'm Lori Brandt, and you're listening to another Draft Prospect Review Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Tuesday, April 10th, right here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting a little bit of warm weather today in preparation for the draft coming up soon. Today we have Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart, and they're breaking down the cornerback position for you.
Thanks, Lori. We move along here as we approach the draft in late April, and on today's episode, we are going to talk about cornerbacks, and of course, cornerback is an intriguing position with the Patriots this offseason with the Asante Samuel situation. News this week that Randall Gay might be making visits with the New York Jets. He's a restricted free agent, and regardless of how the situations with those two players shore themselves up, cornerback is a position that the Patriots are in need of some depth, and perhaps with one of their two first-round picks, will go in that direction. So with this position, we certainly can talk about some of the top players at the position potentially coming to the Patriots. Who are the top guys, and who might be Patriot candidates?
Well, there's the big four. There's Houston, Revis, Hall, and Ross. Now, if you look at cornerback, that's a position traditionally in the draft that teams go after. So I think at least two, if not three, of those guys will be off the board by pick 24, which limits the Patriots' options. I know a lot of mock drafts have all these guys going there, but I think you look at Houston, he's off. I think there's a good chance Revis could be gone, and I think there's a good chance Hall could be gone. And then that leaves you Ross, and he's kind of that fourth guy where he's a gambler. So I don't know if he fits well here, but all four of those players will go in the first round, and deservedly so.
The only thing I'd say is I think they're first-round picks. I think there's a chance that none of them end up being great corners. I think they all have question marks in different aspects of their game where you say, yeah, in all likelihood, they're starting NFL cornerbacks. They'll probably be starters for a long time, but is there one in the group that's a franchise, shutdown, elite corner? I'm not sure there is. And I think, you know, you look at Houston.
I would say Houston is
But he's a guy who, he's very physical, so he's going to play the Ty Law game where, especially as a rookie, when he's young and he's trying to make his bones in the league, he could get called for a lot of penalties. You wonder how that affects his psyche, how that affects his style.
But that's okay, though, in my opinion.
But
because you got
not if it changes his play. Why he succeeds.
But if he's going to be a great corner, it won't change his play. You know what I'm saying?
But that's like, the question.
Right. There's always going to be a question.
And if they keep calling it and he says, well, I got to stop doing it, how does that bring his game back to a level where it's a little bit below what he was able to do in college? And the other question with him is how much man he played, what's he going to be able to do in all the zone coverage he's going to be asked to play in the pros. So I just think there are question marks in general. I think this goes for the whole draft. I mean, once you get past Calvin Johnson, there's not a lot
breaking
of top-end prospects.
Andy Hart says there's question marks with the draft picks.
Well, I don't think it's a great draft. I think some of these cornerbacks in a great year would be second and third-round picks.
But don't you think the overall class of corners is very deep?
Deep.
Like, I think the class is good. I agree with you. There's not that top 5 to 10 guy, but I think if you look at it as a whole, it's a very good class.
But that tells me the guy you get in the first round, if he's your guy, might be great. Or the guy you get in the third round
might be
your guy for your system, and he might be
exactly
great.
And speaking of the third round, if you look at Tom Casale's mock draft on Patriots.com, just posted at the end of last week, Damien Hughes out of Cal is a guy that you, Tom, project coming to the Patriots in the third round. He's a guy that maybe has slipped a little bit. I remember at the Combine, mm-hmm. he was considered one of the in that elite class, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a first-round pick way back when.
Yeah, absolutely.
He ran slow, but I really like him because he has football speed and instincts. He goes after the ball. He times it well. Now, the speed could be an issue, and that's why he's going to slip a little bit. But he's a guy I like, and Jonathan Wade out of Tennessee, Andy and I both really like him. He's got a lot of skills. He's a guy in that third-round area as well. And a little bit later on, DeAndre Jackson from Iowa State, great athlete, tore his ACL last year. He was an explosive kick returner, but he's a guy who might have been like a second-round prospect, but because he got injured, you might get him in round 4 or 5 in that area. So those are three guys that I think if they don't go early, they could look at later on.
Right, so from the Patriots' perspective, you know, they have the two. If it turns out that they fall in love with one of those big four, they might have the ammunition to trade up if they want to, but if they look at it as the difference between the first-round guys and the second- and third-round guys, isn't that big, maybe, and right now they don't have a second-round pick, maybe middle of the second round they see, wait a minute, one of these guys that we thought might be going around there is still around, we're interested, they might have ammunition to move mm-hmm. from the third to the second. They could acquire a second-round pick before the draft. I mean, you never know how that's going to go.
Well, the Randall Gay thing. If the Jets are legitimately interested and want to sign him, the second-round pick would be the compensation.
And the thing that Andy said is the reason why I don't think they'll go corner in the first round. Unless, say, like a Revis is there and they just absolutely love him and they take him. But because you can get a guy in the second or third round that may be just as good, I don't see him going there. A guy we should probably just hit on real quick is Marcus McCauley from Fresno State. I don't think he can play corner. I think he can play safety.
Mm-hmm.
I see people have him in the first round. To me, that is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. In 51 career games at Fresno State, he had 22 pass breakups and 4 picks. And he was benched last year on a bad football team. So all of a sudden you're a first-round pick? I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. That's a third-round pick who's getting first-round consideration because of his physical ability. But as Andy and I saw on tape, he's not a very good cornerback. He's a good athlete who could probably play safety.
And he was benched by a guy who learned coaching to some degree under Belichick, admitted to me that virtually everything he does in terms of practice routines is based on what he learned under Bill Belichick in Cleveland. And if Pat Hill benched him, well, then there's a guy who thinks a lot like Belichick who benched him.
Well, that's just it. I mean, when we talk about the pipeline every week, Belichick will get the real information on this guy.
No question.
Like he did on James Sanders. And James Sanders, you know, he was a fourth round, fifth round. And, you know, last year and his second year, we're starting to see, you know, what he's all about. You know that Belichick is getting the correct information on these guys from the on-field, off-field, work ethic and all that when it comes to guys like Pat Hill. So cornerback, you know, maybe it's a position they go after in the first round. Maybe they wait later on. But you got to figure 10 picks right now in this draft that cornerback is a position that they'll probably –
Well, it's one of their top needs. No matter how you look on it, at it, whether Gay is back or not, somewhat irrelevant. Whether Samuel is here long-term or not, somewhat irrelevant. Because you need a legitimate third corner, first of all, if Samuel and Hobbs are here and are your starters. And if this Samuel thing, if it continues to go down a negative road and they can't come closer and it ends up with him playing elsewhere, well, now all of a sudden you're back to the position you were a year and a half ago, right, where you need a top-level corner.
And when you look at what the Patriots have done in the offseason to this point, they signed Eddie Jackson, but for the most part, the secondary is one of the few positions of need that the Patriots haven't done much in the offseason. So you got to figure the draft is a time to do some of that. Let's just take a look real quick. NFL Draft Scout, one of our favorite draft-related websites,
do a great
has
job.
Their brand-new mock draft just out today. And real quick, at the top of the draft, before we get to the Patriots, they have Jamarcus Russell going number one to the Raiders, Gaines Adams going number two to the Lions, and then Brady Quinn to the Browns, Calvin Johnson to the Buccaneers, and Joe Thomas to the Cardinals. For the Patriots, at 24, they have Joe Staley, the tackle out of Central Michigan, and at 28, Anthony Spencer, the defensive end out of Purdue, who would probably project more as a linebacker. But they have the Patriots going all over the line, the inside, starting from the
inside. And this is an interesting phenomenon that's going on. Andy and I were up in the office about a month ago and said, let's start throwing offensive tackle out there as a first-round possibility.
Right.
We must have been bugged, because every mock draft you see now has them taking an offensive tackle.
And Joe Staley is
Joe
Staley, the other one,
Blaylock
right,
and
another
even
guy.
Sears, I saw.
Sears, yep.
Staley, by all accounts, has a tremendous amount of talent. Some people think he could be the best tackle in the draft, could be a franchise left tackle. But I think these two picks are interesting to me because we look at it as at 24 and 28 on a good football team, you could add a starter, because that's what they always do in the first round. They add a starter, an impact guy. I don't think either of those guys would come in and have an impact. Because even if Joe Staley is great,
to supplant one of the starters,
at best, I think he's a right tackle right now. Because are you telling me you're willing to put Joe Staley out of Central Michigan on Tom Brady's blind side on opening weekend and say, this is our guy? When you have Matt Light, who's been at a Pro Bowl most recently, but has been acceptable, has gotten the job done over his career. So I think these two guys, while maybe they have huge upsides, Spencer's a little bit of a project as an outside linebacker, you'd end up with two guys who might not contribute until midway through the season, late in the season, or if at all as rookies.
If they do contribute as rookies, it would probably be because of a catastrophe to someone else.
Especially Spencer.
Especially Spencer.
You know
what the Patriots defensive
line is like. I think
the
Staley pick would be more about Nick Kazier. I think that would show that they don't really like Kazier as a starter.
Callahan?
Well, maybe they think he's just a backup. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they're sitting there saying, well, we got Staley. He starts off at right tackle. Maybe at some point he moves to left and we take Matt Light and move him to right tackle, like Andy said. Then he can maul with those bigger defensive linemen and let Staley worry about the quick guys like the Jason Taylors of the league.
I think the only way they draft Staley is they think he's a left tackle. They think he's a legitimate top-notch left tackle.
He won't start out there.
Yeah, he's. I don't think you throw him there right away because, I mean, let's be honest, guys who are supposed to be once-in-a-lifetime left tackles like Robert Gallery don't start out there. You know, they play right tackle. Some of them never reach the success they're supposed to have. You know, that's a position where as much as you have the hits, you have a lot of misses because they project these, quote, franchise left tackles who never develop. So I just don't think you draft Joe Staley late in the first round and he becomes your opening day left tackle.
And I'd be shocked if the draft went that way for the Patriots.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, we mentioned in the Patriots.com mock draft Damien Hughes in the third round. We might as well say who Tom has going in the first round. John Beeson, the linebacker out of Miami, much discussed around here as a possible Patriots candidate. And then Michael Griffin, the safety out of Texas. There's a couple of big-name safeties out there that could go in the top 10 or 12, like LaRon Landry, Reggie Nelson. You have Michael Griffin out of Texas.
Yeah, and I do here. Consult with Andy before I throw him in there.
But sorry,
the reason we
didn't mean to disappoint
we just
screw
think,
you,
maybe I did.
Beeson is a player we know they like. So if he's there at 24, athletic inside linebacker, adds depth, can get into a rotation as a rookie, you know, keep Bruschi and Vrabel healthy as the season goes on. Then Griffin, we took him over Merriweather because we just think he's a little bit better player. I know the Patriots have shown interest in Merriweather, but overall, near the line of scrimmage, toughness, I just think Griffin is a little bit better than Merriweather.
We'll continue our theme of looking at some past Patriot drafts real quick. The 2002 draft, which was an interesting one. The Patriots only had six picks total. Four of those six came through as terrific starters. They took Daniel Graham in the first round, Deion Branch in the second round, the fourth round, Rohan Davey and Jarvis Green. Green, the only member of the 02 draft class still around. And then in the seventh round, they didn't have another pick till the seventh round, Antoine Womack, the running back who was coming off a ridiculous injury, and he was a long shot. And then David Givens, one of the steals of the draft. Obviously, Graham just left in this offseason. He's become a starter and a very capable player. Deion Branch, we all know about him. What would you say about the overall 2002 draft class and how the Patriots
can't
did?
Can't beat that.
Yeah, I mean,
you got starters all the way through the draft.
You ended up with starters throughout. You ended up with guys who definitely in Givens outperformed their draft position. Jarvis Green probably has outperformed his draft position. The top pick, you may have underperformed a little bit when you trade up to get a playmaking tight end.
A 21st pick in the entire draft, but
he was a capable starter and a key part of this team's winning moving forward from there. So, you know, certainly not a bust by any means. I mean, they didn't have a bust in that draft. I mean, Rohan Davey hung around a little bit, hung around elsewhere. So he was an NFL caliber, project,
Tom,
I guess.
When he left, Tom Brady said he should be a starter in this league. So.
And Womack was a pure, take a chance on a guy coming off an injury. So, I think that was a very, very solid, if not spectacular draft with some of the receiver picks were spectacular.
And they didn't have the quantity of picks like they have this year or they had last year, but they certainly made the most of what they did have. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Draft Prospect Review for Tom Casale and Andy Hart. I'm Brian Lowe, and we go back now to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Remember to join us every Tuesday for a new Draft Prospect Review podcast. Keep checking Patriots.com for all the latest updates. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!